HD3. Well, we want to put wraps on the Patriots season before we get too far out and before we get closer to the Super Bowl. And we thought the best guy to do that is a guy who's been covering them all season long. You know him from his great work on Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mike Giardi joins us on the GNM Family Market phone line. Mike, good Thursday afternoon.
It is Thursday afternoon, and that means in 2 days I'm supposed to go to San Francisco for the Patriots. Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. Yeah, I had the tickets. Everything was ready to go.
Yeah, it has been a rough week for people. Disappointing, I think. Yeah, everybody just assumed, even though they knew Denver was a tough place to play. But now we've had some time to think about things and to look back. At this point, should the Patriots have done anything differently? And not just in that game, but even in the way they finished the regular season?
You know, obviously, as you go over this thing with a fine-tooth comb, I never had a problem with the way Belichick handled the final 6 weeks, in the sense that I think managing the injuries was their best shot to get back to the Super Bowl this year. And I think that there was no guarantee, had he not managed those injuries, that they would have even beaten Kansas City in that first round. And I know people look at the Kansas City game. I've heard different people say, oh, that wasn't even as close to the score indicated. Well, I think it was. I think we got a little bit, you know, skewed looking at it because we finally saw the offense that you had hoped you were going to see and you hadn't seen for 6 to 8 weeks. But I really do believe that the injury thing, it was such an epidemic, and a lot of these things were pretty serious, and you know, we'll get the trickle-down effect in the next week or two about people having surgery and those sorts of things. But I think if he didn't do that, I don't think they even get the opportunity, or certainly the opportunity to get there was going to be jeopardized. And I don't know. I mean, like the game itself, the fourth down and one, you know, which is highly debated with 6 minutes left. At the time, it didn't bother me at all. I liked the philosophy there, and I had to change. And I know a lot of people go back and see what they did after the six-minute mark and getting back down there a couple more times. And I thought that they had been down. They had scored one touchdown to that point with 6 minutes to go, and that touchdown came thanks to a gift from Denver with the lateral and Hillman with the brain fart. So you hadn't been down there. You get down there, and I think you have to say to yourself, I'm not sure I'm going to get here again against this defense the way they're teeing off on Brady. So it didn't work out, but it didn't bother me.
All right, now it's time to look ahead and start planning for next year. And, of course, one of the first questions people ask is who won't be back in the Patriots in 2016? Of course, there are some free agents and some question marks for the Pats. Who do you think, Mike, are the guys least likely to be back in uniform next year?
I would say LeGarrette Blount won't be back. I think, you know, he came into camp a little bit out of shape. And then when he had his opportunities, he didn't take advantage of it as he had in years prior before the injury. I mean, it could be one of those situations where the money is so minimal that it's worth the risk, but I don't think that they're kind of leaning in that direction. I think Gerard Mayo is definitely going to have to redo his deal and come off another 3 years in a row on ending the year on IR and the second time with major surgery here. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I know he's a leader, but I think that's sort of moved on now. I think Hightower's taken over the reins of that defense, and I think that's a good thing. And Amendola's the other one. I think he's still an important part, but at $7.3 million for a cap hit next year, as important as the slot guy is, as important as they like to, as much as they like to have the three wide receivers on the field, That's too big a chunk. So he's going to have to redo that. And I think there will be some. I think there might be some desire from him to stay here because I think he likes the idea of playing with Tom, and I think he understands, like many guys do, that there's a few places where you can be in business all year long and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and this is one of them.
We're talking with Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Now, looking ahead even further, there are some key guys, especially on the defense, whose contracts run out at the end of next season. Are the Patriots already making plans and prioritizing who to try and hang on to?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that they would love to get Hightower done, not only to get him done and make sure that he's a Patriot for the foreseeable future, but also he's got a pretty high number for next year, and obviously you can kind of spread the money out and lower the cap hit. Collins is another guy that, you know, has got another year on top of this one, but is another guy that you definitely want to take care of because I think you look at that defense and that's the heart and soul of the defense. It's Hightower and it's Collins. And then it wouldn't surprise me the least bit Rich, if they go to Malcolm Butler and say, look, you know, you're a restricted free agent at the end of next year. We love the work that you put in. We're not going to pay you number one cornerback money, but we're going to pay you something sort of in between where now you have some security long-term. To a lesser degree, what they did with Deion Lewis during the season. Obviously, that was a smaller deal, 2 years, essentially $4 million total. But it was like, all right, you know, we have some faith in you. We're going to buy back a year, essentially. And I think I could see that with Butler, but obviously the numbers would be much greater than 2 and 4 for Lewis.
Well, the clock is certainly ticking on this combination of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, 39 years old next year, although it's hard to picture Bill Belichick not coaching and kicking back and relaxing somewhere. But realistically, how much longer do you see this combination staying together before one of them makes the decision to walk away?
Well, I mean, certainly from Brady's standpoint, he has expressed his desire often to play into his 40s, maybe well into his 40s. Now, I don't know if that's realistic or not. And, you know, the punishment that those guys take, and while he's very good at absorbing it and certainly changed his body to handle the beating maybe more than some other guys do, at some point, Father Time is going to say, all right, buddy, enough is enough. You can't do this anymore. As for Belichick, you know, we're kind of kicking around the idea yesterday after, you know, being the 16th year anniversary of him being named the head coach. And, my colleague Tommy Kern said he still thinks around numbers. So he could see year 20 with the Patriots as being the final year on the sidelines. And that would put him, I believe, at like 67, which, you know, is reasonable. And then you could move him to, if he still wants to keep his hand and do it, obviously, be it New England or anywhere else, would love to have him as an advisor or a general manager or, you know, in some sort of capacity, a Parcells capacity, as Bill evolved in his later years as well. So, yeah, I think you've got at least a couple more. Certainly Brady's under contract for 2 more years, and I don't think they're planning on parting with him anytime soon.
All right, as for the Super Bowl itself, and not going to be quite the same by any stretch, and everybody seems to look at the way Carolina played and say nobody's stopping them, would it be a mistake to assume going in that the Broncos just don't have a chance in this thing?
Yeah, I think it would be a mistake because I think now Denver is going to do the same thing that they did the week leading up to the Patriots. Beat off that disrespect. And, you know, look, it's a simple thing. You say, well, he still comes down to playing on the field, but they had to be in their bonnet on Sunday for the Patriots and for some of the stuff that was said during the course of the week. And the other thing you got to look at, too, is it's an extra week for Manning in that arm, which looked better than it had maybe at any point this year. To get healthy or healthier or more solid or whatever. And I think they're a smart group over there. Now you're giving Wade Phillips 2 weeks to devise a plan for Cam Newton and everything that he does. And I think you're also looking at 2 weeks for Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak to sit in that room and come up with some sort of plan to attack what is a very impressive Carolina defense.
Do you think there's anything to this Manning HGH story? And do you think for a minute that the NFL will pursue it as aggressively as they did all of the Deflategate nonsense?
Yeah, boy, it seems like they, just in terms of, let's just look at it from this way, just in terms of the leaks that have come out of there have been no leaks. So whether that means there's absolutely nothing there or that means that they're just taking their sweet old time, certainly we don't have any reason in New England have much faith in the way the NFL is operating and the lies that they've hit behind and some of the just shenanigans that went on and have gone on and will continue to probably go on as we have more Deflategate stuff come up in the next couple weeks. So I can't trust them at all. And from the HGH standpoint, it would make, I mean, I have no inside knowledge, but it would make sense. The guy went through major surgeries, potential career-threatening surgeries, and if that's what he felt like he needed to get back, he would not be the first guy, nor would he be the last. I'm probably one of those guys that subscribes to the theory that the NFL doesn't really exist in its form now if guys aren't doing something, because I don't think the human body was meant to undergo multiple car crashes every Sunday and then turn around and play again the following Sunday, or worse yet, on a Thursday night. I don't think the body was built for that. I think that culture, drug culture, if you will, I put quotation marks around that, is part of the league, and I don't think that's going to change, and I think if it does change, the product is going to be not at all what you're used to seeing.
Mike Giardi, you know him from his great work on Comcast Sportsnet New England, and I would say, from my opinion, second best-dressed guy at CSN, and we have to go with Kyle because he comes on every week with us.
you know, you could have me, and then we could really have the debate, because I think side by side, you know, Philly's kind of old-fashioned, he's a conservative. And I'm just, you know, I'm throwing stuff out there. I'll throw you colors. I'll give you all kinds of different stuff. You don't know what you're going to get from me day to day.
Yeah, you got a good point. All right, but our committee will meet. We'll get back to you. How's that?
Excellent. I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Great talking with you, as always.
Thank you.
That's Mike Giardi, CSNNE here on Downtown.